James 3. Somewhere up here, my got all my notes and they disappeared. I got too many papers up here again. And so. James 3. Now we're starting. You know, go check that. Look for that. I don't know where they are. I have too many papers in my pulpit, but he might have. Somebody's thinking. It looks like if it's not a printed up, there we go. What are you throwing my notes away for? And there we go. Thank you. All right. I've done pretty good by memory, but I was looking at it this morning and or on the pulpit here. All right, James 3. Timmy, why don't you go back there? How do you make sure the door is closed? The main door, too. All right. Good. Well, last week we talked about communication, and I want to review a little bit, but let's read these verses first and start at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So if you don't mess up with your words, you pretty much got it all together, and you can control your whole body. You're under control because your tongue is so hard to control. Behold, he put bits in the horse's mouth and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So a person controls a ship with just a little tiny, wheel of a great boat. And the tongue is compared the same way. Just like controlling a horse with a little bit, your tongue is controlling. And it's if you can control your tongue, you got control of the whole body. And let's see, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? So let's go ahead and talk about that. Communication number 2. Today we're talking about the do's and don'ts of communication. The do's and don'ts of communication. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we do pray for your help today. We pray for your Spirit to help us now to understand your doctrine, your truth, and may we get some good knowledge today, Father. And may we learn to control our tongues, and not just that, to communicate better, Father. We pray for your help today, Lord, and for you to bless this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Just want to review a little bit. It's amazing here. It says how powerful the tongue is. If you can control it, you're a perfect man. You can control the whole body. it is if it can defile you completely. Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Pretty powerful. It says it sets you on fire. It is defiled the whole body. I could explain this with domestic violence. It usually starts with words and escalates. Then they're yelling, and then they're fighting, then they're hurting, and even murder many times in your own family. It's the tongue riles you up. Once you start going through, you ever start talking and say, I'm going to lose control here, and you get worse and worse and worse? And because a tongue is so powerful, it can really ruin you. It can defile you. Your language, what you say, you can, your line, all kinds of things. It can get you in real trouble. it should not be mixed with good and bad. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And I'm not exaggerating here. Honestly, if you're going to be a person who's going to go say things about God and you're going to cuss and say bad things, I would prefer you not say anything about God. You say, no, it's good to say things about God. Not if you're going to, if your mouth's going to be foul. You shouldn't have both out of the same mouth. It's a terrible testimony. And don't do that. And so you shouldn't have mixed. Your mouth should be only good. Review from last week a little bit. We said, listen carefully. Hear the whole matter. Speak carefully and thoughtfully. Don't say too much. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Don't be hasty. Many things should be left unsaid. That's important there. Many things you don't need to say. We are so used to thinking, we being told, why does it express myself? Not always. There's a lot of times I shouldn't say what I'm thinking about that person right now. and so you don't need to say everything. Just, well, this is right, and I'm going to say it. You don't have to say everything that's right. It's not always the right place to say it. It's not always the right situation to say it. You don't need to take a stand in every situation. You don't need to, there's a lot of times when you just say, let me just think about this. I wonder if I should say that. And many things should be left unsaid. You don't need to tell people bad things about them, faults. And, you know, if somebody has a physical ailment and somebody's deformed in some way and you say, man, you know, one of your eyes is lower than the other. You don't need to say that. It might be true. You know, you might say, boy, last time I saw there's a lot more of them there used to be. Man, they've gained some weight. You don't need to say that. Okay, you don't need to say everything. Might be true. You just don't have to say everything. And it's better to, it's better to keep your mouth shut and have them think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And there you go. don't say too much. Don't be hasty in your speech. Things should be left unsaid. bring your struggles to the Lord. That was kind of where he finished off. Now today, I'm just going to go into this, some do's and don'ts. And the first thing I want to say is have a mouth full of blessings. James chapter 3 and verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, even which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does the same fountain send forth bitter and sweet? So first of all, your mouth should be full of blessings. Now, one of the things I'm going to talk most about today, and I really want you to get, because I've experienced it so much as far as having to do this, and is your words, you get a comfort zone in how you talk. And to go outside that comfort zone feels wrong. Okay? What you have to do is change that comfort zone. When I was, I'm not talking about just cussing. I'm not talking about just that. But I used to have a problem with anything tender and nice. My family and the people, my friends and everything like that, you just weren't sweet and nice and complimentary. You just weren't. And so when someone said something nice to me, I didn't know what to do. I remember we had a young lady, and she was our age, and she was in our youth group, and she came up to us and my wife and I, and she started talking about how, like, we're her hero, and she we mean so much to her, and she was going on and on and on, and we weren't comfortable with it all, and we're like, man, you need some better heroes, and we were kind of, you know, laughing about it and joking about it, and she got very upset and said, listen, you need to stop that, accept that compliment, God has used you in my life. And I realized, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, she's saying, you know, you're God or whatever. I don't understand. But my comfort zone wasn't nice words. I remember somebody did something real nice to me when I was a teenager, and he shined my shoes. And I came up and they shined my shoes, and I just said something negative about it. And I'm ashamed of it. That's who I was. And I remember they all started laughing, him and the other people. And I said, "What's so funny?" They said, "He told us you were going to say something bad about it. You're going to criticize the job somehow." And I did. I criticized the job of him shining my shoes. It was just the way I was. I just was not comfortable with saying thank you or nice words or sweet words. I love you and you're great and boy, I'm proud of you. I wasn't comfortable with those things. And I had to change that. Did you get that? Not, that's just not me. I had to change that. Okay? And it didn't happen in a week, it didn't happen in a month, it didn't happen in a year. But once I told you how hard I formed those words and said to my mom, "I love you," because we didn't say that, and how that was part of the process. I was chipping away. Now, I hope and I feel that if when I say something I shouldn't say, and by that I don't cuss, I don't, you know, but when I say something harsh or mean, it really feels wrong when I say it. Now, there's some people, they can spew out the venom. They're comfortable with it. They can do it with a smile. They can tell you how terrible you are and how much I hate you and how they're going to kill you and everything. And I mean, it just gives their comfort zone. I mean, it's almost like, do you know the people who, if they aren't in a fight, they start one? Okay? Because their comfort zone is contention. And isn't that sad? And that's the way I like that. Or would you finally get them to say thanks? Okay, thanks. Why? Because that's their comfort zone. And I'm not, if that's you, I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying that's I was there. But you have to change that, not say that's who I am. Okay? I am not saying everybody is wired the same and expresses themselves the same. I do not believe I will ever get to the point. Probably my nature is not such. I can be sweet and I can say nice words and I can be kind and be thankful and accept compliments and be kind to people and say building productive things. I can do all that. I just doubt my very nature that I'm ever going to be really sappy or super, you know, super crying and emotional. I doubt I'll walk up to you and just fall on your shoulder and say, "I love you so much. I don't know what to do." That just, you'd probably say, "What's wrong with you, Pastor? What have you been taking?" And it's just, now, I should be able to say I love you. I'm just saying there's this realm of who you are. There's people who are very emotional and weep at a drop of a pin and praise God for that. And there's also people who are super logical, who for them to say, "I really appreciate what you did," is like super high compliment. It's like, it's, you know, and so I understand that there were, but we all need to get our comfort zone where saying good, kind, sweet things is very normal for us, and saying harsh things and bad things and cruel things sounds wrong to us and feels wrong. And that takes a lot of blessing and a lot of kind words and a lot of good things. And I'm just going to tell you, if you grew up in a harsh family, you're like that, unless you purposely change it. If your family criticized you and told you how bad you were and told you they wish they never had you, all that stuff, okay, you're going to have to change your comfort zone. I'm just telling you now. And because you learn how to express yourself. Listen, huggy families, everybody in the family is huggy. And non-huggy families go, when you try to hug them. I mean, just because you learn from your family how to express yourself a lot. And so it's very important that we do that properly, and so we do that. So have your mouth full of blessings. Get your comfort zone to be a good one, and to be a good one that seems right. Have a mouth full of blessings. So let's go to Proverbs, and then we're gonna go back to the New Testament. So in your home, you begin to say kind words. It's best to start off the day right. Start in the morning. Good morning. Now, I'll be honest with you. I had something medically wrong with me. I don't know what it was. I never went to the doctor about it. I had something medically wrong with me for about 5 years. Where when I woke up, there was something painfully, painfully wrong with me. I don't know what it was. I could not move. If you said your bed is on fire, I'd say I cannot move. There was something wrong with me. I don't know what it was. Part of it was I was eating right before I went to bed. And then I had a half hour of I hated the world. I hope the roof falls in on me. The world's miserable. I hate life. After the half hour, I was okay. I was fine. I was happy. But the first half hour, was something wrong with me. Really wrong. And so I learned not to say a word my first half hour. Because my words were not pleasant. And I couldn't have enjoyed it. And you could walk in and give $1 million. And I am... You know what? Why are you giving it to me now? I'm too tired to hold it. I mean, that's just the way I was for a half hour. And so I'm not like that. I've been like that for I don't know, weeks. No, I've been that for probably 15 years. But something's wrong with me. And so I learned not to talk. But if you can do it in the morning, you can get up and say, good morning. Boy, it's a beautiful day. I'm so glad I'm married to you. If you can start off the day right, it gets easier the rest of the day. Okay? Start off right. And don't be a grump in the morning. If you're a grump in the morning, hush. Okay? And do that. So start off. Proverbs chapter, let's see, Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 18 and 19. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth should be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Just realize that have a mouthful of blessings. Have a mouthful of encouragement. Have a mouthful of pleasant things. You know what you'll find? This next verse, we're going to focus on the first verse. The second verse is one of the things I want to talk about is have a mouth that tells the truth. Listen, if you're a liar, if you lie, you will find eventually, if you tell enough lies, that lying feels very comfortable to you and is your comfort zone. I know people who, if their mouth opens, they're lying. And they're not all lawyers and politicians, okay? It's their comfort zone. I remember I had a guy come up to me. And I was parked in my car, and he walked out to me, and over Burger King right over here. And he walked up, and he said, and he looked like a normal guy, walked up to me, came to my window. And listen, I've been dealing with people who, I'm used to people trying to scam me. I'm used to people, I mean, I'm always in poor areas. People walk up and talk to you, and they have all these needs. And so he walks up, and he says, listen, man, he says, I'm so embarrassed. He says, my truck is over there. He says, I'm out of gas. He said, what happened is, he says, and he gave me this story. He says, I'm a journeyman carpenter. I was finishing my job. I went back to get my skills saw. I went back in. I came back out. My wallet was in the seat. My wallet was gone. And gave me an awesome story. And he looked the part. And I believed him. And I honestly was going to give him money. Except I didn't have any. It's always my defense. It's like my anti-theft system on my car. Nobody wants it. And so I listened to this guy, and I thought, and I felt really bad. And I said, I don't have any, man. Sorry. And so he said, that's okay. And he left. Well, about 2 weeks later, I'm sitting in a parking lot not that far away. And I see the same guy walking car to car. And I thought, okay. Part of the story is my wife is furious at me because... She came with me in this job, and she's been sitting here for 2 days. We can't get back. And he pointed to his wife. Well, I watch, and they're moving together, and they were so smart. She would sit where the people in the car could look in the rearview mirror and see her, and they'd move together, car to car. And he finally gets to my car, and he says, man, and he says, I hate to do this, but he says, I'm a journeyman carpenter, and I was finished up my last job, and I walked back, and he told me the same story. And I said, you know, that is amazing that happened to you twice in 2 weeks. And he says, what do you mean? I said, you locked your, and I told him the whole story. I said, and I remember just asking him, I said, listen, man, I said, isn't it easier to get a job than walk around and do this? Why do you do this? And don't do that. There's crazy people out there. I'm just crazy too, so they don't mess with me. And so I asked, the guy starts telling me, well, the real reason is this, and he starts lying through his teeth again. Why? He's just a liar. And it's very comfortable for him to lie. Tell the truth so much that when you lie, it doesn't come out right. You're like, ugh. You know what's good? Did you know if you become a really, really honest person, you become a very bad liar? Because you're different. You act different. I sat down and I've been trying to be scammed so many times, and I'm not perfect about it and about not being scammed. Guarantee you that. But I'm pretty careful about it and can see it. And one day I got this thing, how to tell people are lying to you. And it was a scientific study. They scientifically studied liars. And I laughed my head off. It was a comedy act to me because it was so true. Liars do the same things. Because it's they change. It's part of them. And so I want to say, tell the truth so much that when you lie, it doesn't work. Be so sweet in your words that when you're harsh, you say, ooh, that, you know what? I probably shouldn't have said that. You'll know. You might not even, you'll just say, I shouldn't have said that. Now you nice people who are naturally always sweet-spirited, you don't even say it. And if you do, everyone gasps. But a bunch of us, we need to get so used to saying good things that bad things sound wrong. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. This is fun stuff, amen? That was not enthusiastic. Ephesians 4, 29. Next thing I want to say is only speak in order to build. Only speak in order to build. This is a principle that is so practical. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So it says, do not speak anything but that which is to edify. The word edify means build up. Don't say anything unless it's going to build. Okay? Please get that principle. You say, well, Pastor, sometimes your messages, man, you rebuke us. It's a rebuke to build. I want you to understand that. Even when you have to say, that is wicked, you need to stop that. That is to build, not to criticize and tear down. If you can get those principles, if you can get that principle, it changes what you say. Because sometimes you say something very strongly and something very, you know what, this is wicked, this is wrong, and you're doing it to build them up. And sometimes you're saying things to tear them down. And there's a very big difference in your motivation, and because some are going to help people and some are going to hurt people. And so you've got to say, am I doing this because I got to get this off my chest? Or because they just need to know how bad they are? That does not build. They need to know it's wrong. By the way, can I tell you, the Bible says don't rebuke a fool. You'd be surprised the amount of times I do not tell somebody what they're doing is wrong, because the Bible says don't rebuke a fool. And I know they don't want to change. I know they're making a mock at sin. You know what? I am not going to do anything. It's not going to build them up. I'm not going to do that. I'll witness to somebody, give them a chance. But if they don't want it, if somebody makes a mock at sin, if somebody's what the Bible calls a fool or a scorner in Proverbs, the Bible says don't rebuke those people. You cannot win. You cannot help them. You just bring yourself a blot. And so be very careful. Only say things that build. Even rebuking, it builds. Criticism is rarely helpful. Criticism is rarely helpful. Counsel and correction are. Counsel and correction are. So I might go and say to little Johnny, Johnny, you know what? You are not working hard. You're being lazy. You need to stop that. Someday you're going to need to work a job hard someday. You know what? We're not going to let you eat until you go and do that job and work harder. Being lazy is a bad characteristic, okay? All that I did was to build him. Let me switch those words just a little bit and make it to criticize him to get it off my chest. You're nothing but a lazy bum. You're not going to amount to anything. Big difference there. Okay? Criticism and insulting a person is not building. Speaking the truth in order to guide them is. Okay, I can get up here and preach the devil out of you, but that's to get the devil out of you. I can preach hard, and our church can handle me preaching hard, because I think everybody knows I'm not doing this to say you're a bunch of filthy, wicked sinners. It's not so I can tell you how bad you are. It's so I can help you know this is wicked, and what are you doing, and God wants you to do, you have better than that. Do you understand the difference? And so you can go to a good church, and the preacher is preaching harder than a church. By the way, it is not nice of these liberal churches who won't tell you what you're doing is wrong. That is not nice for you to ruin your life and them not warn you. That is not sweeter. That is not kinder. People think it is. They just pat you in the back and say, you're good, you're so wonderful. But it's not. I'd rather have somebody tell me you're about to walk off a cliff. The bridge is out. Then say, you know what? Whatever choice you make in walking, you're just a good person. So you just believe in your heart, whatever you think, and you know, keep on walking the way you walk, because you know, who am I to criticize and judge? No, tell me I'm walking off a cliff. Okay? It's not mean, because you're trying to help me, okay? And so only speak in order to build. Parents, please remember that. I was cross street right up here. On 30th Avenue yesterday, and I was going to a door, and mom was out there with their two little tiny kids, and she didn't know how to discipline her kids, and she didn't deal with the kids. And you've heard how they talk to their kids. I said, get in that car! You stupid idiot! Good, get out of that car! I mean, top of her lungs. Little two and maybe a four-year-old. I thought, man, those kids are in such trouble. Not because the kids are in trouble. Put those kids in my home for a month. Put them in a good home for a month. They'll learn to obey. Her volume, I mean, she's at volume 14 because 8 didn't work and 9 didn't work and 10 didn't work. The only way she can, because she doesn't know to stop and discipline and do it. So all she can do is yell louder and hope that gets a reaction. And attacking the kids personally, it's not good. A lot of people have that verbal abuse. And please don't. Well, you told me I wasn't a good person. That's verbal abuse. Stop. Verbal abuse is not somebody trying to straighten you out. Verbal abuse is when a kid's 4 years old and you're telling they're worthless. Okay, it's a big difference. Okay, everybody. My boss verbally abuses me. He tells me I'm being lazy. No, you were. It's not verbal abuse. Okay, stop. There's a big difference. One's to build. One's to attack. And next, don't use corrupt communication. We said next, don't delay to say sorry or fix things. Don't delay to say sorry or fix things. Let's go to Matthew. Talk about communication. This is in the home especially. Little problems become big problems when you do not fix things, deal with things. Say things. Now, I don't think on the spot is always the place, because sometimes on the spot you're too angry. But the Bible says don't let the sun go down upon your wrath either. Okay, there's a balance there. I have found this has helped me tremendously to do this personally. Matthew 5, verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, thou fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift at the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. You're going to bring your gift to God then. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. I'm really saying to you, you're going to be in prison until that you pay the very edge of that, all of what you owe to them. So in other words, he's saying, like somebody, you have a dispute about money, and you're walking along, and you're talking about it. Before you leave each other, settle the dispute, or he might go turn to the judge, and the judge will bring you and persecute you. And it says that's with relationships. That's the way you deal with relationships, is agree with them quickly, even your adversaries. So things can be right. Now understand, as much as lies within you, live peace with all men. You can't live peace with everybody, okay? Even Jesus couldn't. But you try and you go and say, I'm sorry. You need to say you're sorry. You need to go and make things right. You need to go and say, yeah, I shouldn't have said this. And you need to fix that. Now let me take it to Matthew a little farther. It goes two ways, I found. in most cases. Matthew chapter 18. And Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more from the church. And it goes through a process. But I just want you to notice there. It says, if you have something against your brother now, it says if you've done something wrong, you go and agree with them. You apologize. But it says if your brother's offended you, go to him quickly. And go to him directly. Don't tell everybody about it. Don't go through connections. Oh, man, don't go through connections. Can I say, by the way, texts are not a good way to fix relationships. Texts don't have tones and volumes. Okay? You can actually communicate, talk to a person. Go to him. It says go to him alone. Go, and I find it useful to talk to them in person, not even on the phone, and just talk to them. I'm a person, praise the Lord, I don't struggle with bitterness. I just don't. I could tomorrow, but I don't, and I haven't forever. Somebody can mistreat me, and one of the wonderful things about my memory is I don't remember they mistreated me. And so I don't really struggle with it, but I found that a person, I will endure it and just say, you know what, they just need to grow and I just need to do better. And they can keep on doing the same thing over and over that drives me crazy. And I can endure it and I'll never say anything to them. And I really don't dwell on things. I'm not a dweller on bad things. And so, but I found that a lot of people didn't know they were irritating me or bothering me. And they really wanted to do the right thing. And it was something's frustrated me. And I learned to just say, you know, can I talk to you about something? I know you don't mean anything by this. Do you know how much that has helped me feel better? Now, I don't have to do that. I didn't do it for a long time. It's just not something I have to do. Every time somebody doesn't smile at me, and I say, what do you mean by not smiling? I don't live like that. It's too petty. It's too small. And I have too many good things in my mind. But you know, if you just go talk to somebody, I sound like this genius sometimes. I'll see somebody say to me, you know, so-and-so has not called me in 4 weeks, and I don't know what's wrong with it, and this and that, or so-and-so, I just feel like there's something between us, and then what do you think I should do? Have you talked to him? Well, no. Try this first. Go talk to him and ask him. And you know what happens? They come back and say, you know, it's nothing. Or, you know what? They forgot that I had paid them back. They thought I still hadn't paid them. And as soon as I told them, oh, yeah, I paid you here at 7-Eleven, da-da-da-da-da, they remember. Do you know how often things get settled easily if you do not let it go for a really long time until it gets bitter and worse and angry? And then you finally say, all right, since you're bringing that up, you know what? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'll read that a little later. So get things settled quickly. If you need to say something, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. If you say, you know what, I really think you shouldn't do this anymore. You don't know how bad this hurts me. Say it. Not in front of everybody. Go to them alone and just say, when you're not angry, just say, can I talk to you for a sec? I don't think you know when you make fun of me in front of people. I don't think you know how bad that hurts me. Or whatever it is that you just, you go to them if they've offended you and talk to them if you need to. If it's not offending you at all, don't worry about it. Just move on. And so do that. I am really in trouble for time here. Do have carefully crafted words that are beautiful. Proverbs 25. Do's and don'ts here. Tongue's hard to control, isn't it? Proverbs 25. Do have carefully crafted words. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Just beautiful. I've had a few times in my life where people have just said the right words to me when I needed them. And it was like on a hot day, cold water being poured on me. They just said beautiful things. The words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's just a beautiful thing. There are times in your life where God will send someone to you who just will say the right thing and help you so much. And I would love to ask for testimonies on that. I'm not sure we have time for that. Just where somebody had the right words when you just needed them. Beautiful words, helpful words. Ask, just look to be that person who carefully crafts your words that are encouraging for people. A wise person studies the answer we read last week. Your family needs beautiful words in a harsh world. Your spouse, your husband's going every day and people at work aren't talking nice. Your wife, she might have grown up in a bad home and heard a lot of harsh things. Your kids are going to go out in the world and go to school and go to in society and hear bad things. Their neighbor's going to have fights and hate. They need to hear beautiful words that are a blessing. We all need that. You need those at church. We need those with each other. Do speak words that are well-crafted and are beautiful and encouraging to people. Next, you control your tongue, not your tongue controls you. Well, I just had to say it. Nope. You tell your tongue what your tongue, my tongue, you tell your tongue what to say. Your tongue does not tell you, I have to say this. James 3:8, the Bible says, your tongue is an unruly evil that no man can tame. You have to understand you need God to help you control your tongue. When that person cuts you off in the highway and you want to speak in tongues or gesture to them in certain ways, you know what you need to do? You need to tell your tongue what you're going to do. You need to control your tongue. You need to decide how to do that. You say, Pastor, that's all good principles. That's all nice. However, it is impossible. I cannot do it. How? Good. I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible tells us how. Of course, God gives us the answers. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 6. I'm going to teach you an abridged edition of how to control your tongue. And if you control your tongue, you control your whole body. The easiest way, well, we said last week, you pray about it. So Luke 6, verse 43. But let me give you just a couple things here real quick. How to control your tongue. Verse 43. Is the key in this passage. For a good tree bringeth forth good, bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do gather figs. Do they gather figs or brambles? Do they gather grapes? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Okay? Out of what's in your heart, it comes out of your mouth. Okay? In every way, you're supposed to control your tongue. You shouldn't just say, well, I just had to talk. Nobody was talking, so I had to talk. I feel like I had to entertain everybody. No, don't feel like you have to. Decide if you should say something and say it or don't. And by the way, if you're a quiet person and don't say things and encourage people and say good things when you should, that's wrong. If you're a blabbermouth who can't control a tongue or a cusser or a whatever, that's wrong. You control your tongue, but you do it by what goes into your heart. Input, output. Garbage in, garbage out. Good things in, good things out. That's the way, out of the abundance of the heart. So I got my big, giant Microsoft cup that Charlie gave me. And if I poured a whole bunch of apple juice into here till it overflowed, what's going to come out of the cup? Oh, you're so smart. What if I poured in garbage? Garbage. What if I pour in water? Whatever you put in overflows and comes out. Your tongue is your heart's outlet. You have this little valve, and it gets pressurized, and all of a sudden it goes, bleh, and says something. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The reason you say negative or critical or cussing or whatever is because that's what you're putting in. I always laugh when someone says, my music doesn't affect me. And then I hear how they talk in their language. It's what you put in. Your television you watch. Can I tell you? I have not cussed in good 25 years. When I was in the dock with a bunch of foul-mouthed guys who cussed all the time, I never cussed once. But did you know, for the first time in years, when I was in Bible college and I was working out by myself, no problem. The words never came to my mind, but the words started coming to my mind when something bad happened. Why? That was what was getting put in all the time, all night at work. Okay? And when your heart, when it moves into your heart, and all of a sudden it gets into your heart, and all of a sudden you have a heart of anger or bitterness, you're going to say it. Do you know if you have a rejoicing, happy heart, a joyful heart, do you know what's going to come out of your mouth? It's a great day today. Praise the Lord. You know what? And they'll be like, you know, you're so positive. Yeah. You know why you're negative? Because you're Eeyore. That's why you're so negative. Oh, everything's going bad. I watched the news last night. Everybody's going to blow everybody else up. My friends, everybody's killing themselves. Everybody's killing each other. That's all you put in. So it comes out. See, if you want to control your tongue, you're going to speak something. So you decide to put in the blessing and the good and the positive and get around people who are blessings. Fill your thoughts and your hearts with good things. Spend time with the Lord. Read the Bible. Go to a great church. Fill yourself with good things. You'll be surprised how all of a sudden the negative and because it's your heart that's evil. Get your heart right. Fill it with good things. Look at Psalm 39, verse 3. Good night. We're in trouble for time. It's my life story. Psalm 39. You control your tongue by what you put in. Put in good, godly, holy things in your life. You'll find out your tongue starts putting out good, godly, holy things. Got so many things I want to say on this. Psalm 39, verse 3. I'll show you how it just says it real clearly. Verse 3. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. In other words, I was thinking on this, thinking. That's why you keep on thinking about how that person wronged you. You keep dwelling on it, and then all of a sudden you get with them. You know, because you dwelt on it so long. Do you know, when you get love in your heart, did you know a crazy thing will happen? You'll just blurt out, I love you, to the people. You just look at your kids and say, I love you so much. Because you're so full of love, you have to say it. You'll say it to your wife or your husband because you're so full of your heart's so full of love. You got to get your heart right to control your tongue. And that's the way you do it, is the key. Next thing you do to control your tongue is put a bridle upon it. James 1:26. I'm not going to turn there, but it says we put horses in the bits of his mouth, bridles on them, and you put a bridle upon your tongue to control it. Other words, you got a trap on your tongue, and you say, all right, I'm releasing it to say something. Learn to control it. Force yourself not to talk when you want to, and to talk when you don't want to. You shy people, we always excuse you, but we do not excuse the blabbermouth. You shy people, you know what you need to do? And we train our kids to do this, is I don't care if you're shy, you walk up to the person, be courteous, and stand up and say, good to meet you. Ooh, that didn't go over good. You shy people used to like me. But you know what you do? You conquer your tongue. I don't want to say hi to anybody at church. You're the person who needs to do it then. Amen! And that came out of my heart. And that amen did. And you people who say, well, I just like talking, da da da. No, you need to put a bridle on your tongue and say, you know what? I'm going to be quiet. I'm just going to let them talk. You know, did you know that other people can say more words than you and it's okay? And so... you control your tongue. You put a bridle on it. You say, should I say this? I've got control of my tongue. I learned to clamp it when I need to. I need to open it when I need to. I have learned to control my tongue. And you do that. I want to say, before I finish this up, it's somewhere in my notes here. You hear a lot of bad phrases. You should not say OMG. You should not misuse Bible words as cussing. Okay, hell is a place, not a adjective, not an exclamation. Okay, damn is a Bible word, and it's not a good thing. Someone is damned to eternal damnation. Okay, you don't use it as a cuss word. Okay, no corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth. Don't get your language from this world. They cuss every other word. Some of them do. Some of you go to work with rough guys. They cuss every other word. You need to be intelligent enough where you do not have to cuss to express yourself. increase your vocabulary. We have got the language that has more words than any language in the history of Earth, by far. Okay, 2.5 million, I think, is how many words are in the English language. The average language has about 250,000. There's enough words to express yourself without cussing. Okay, and your text, and don't put something in your social media and forward something with cuss words. What are you doing? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let's control our words and tongues, and especially in our homes. All right, we got to finish up because of time, not because of content. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be careful in our words, sweet-spirited, kind. Help us to control ourselves, Lord. It's tough, Lord. It's so hard. Sometimes we get mad, we have to say something. Sometimes we just have to gossip or criticize or whatever. Help us to be under control of these things. Help our tongues not to control us. Pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I think with that lesson, I don't want you to forget, what did God speak to you about?